Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to this episode of AlternativeTalkRadio.tv. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Susie Pabor, and along with me, my co-host, medium Adela Levine. Tonight, Adela will be tuning in to your loved ones on the other side and opening up the gateway to allow you to experience communication with them, and as well an opportunity to get validation that when they transcend from their bodies, we can still maintain a loving connection with them, and it's really beautiful. And we're going to get to as many of you as we can for a brief reading so you can get a look into how Adela connects. And though it's not possible to get to all of you, we hope you will grow and be inspired by listening to our show. And, of course, a private one-on-one reading is always the best, where time and attention is on you and who you're looking to speak with. And Adela can be reached through her website at adelalevine.com. That's AdelaLavine.com. As well as you can find a link to her webpage at AlternativeTalkRadio.tv. Excuse me. And again, I'm just going to say it. The reason why I do get a scratchy voice in the beginning is because we do a little bit of dancing and listening to music to raise the vibration before the show starts. And so that's what you're hearing right now. We've got a wonderful show for you. We will also be talking about the subject of free will, as Adela explains what that means and how that affects us all, and as well as, if we have time, answer some wonderful general questions from our listening audience who have emailed us here at Alternative Talk on the subject of life after death and reasons why things happen the way they do while we're on this journey. So with that, let's go ahead and bring on Adela. Hey, Adela.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, sweetie. So great to have you again, working together again.
And yes, it's always great.
Opening the doors to spirit and see what it, all the magic it brings. I'm just so excited and looking forward to helping those who are calling in to get some answers and some validation, and so that's beautiful. And so we're going to turn it over to you, and we're going to have you tell us what we're going to do tonight and how it's going to go.
Sure. So tonight, as usual, we're going to do some sample readings, medium readings. So everybody, let's make it clear, if you're calling in, this is for medium readings only. But we're opening up the floor to whoever you want to talk to. This isn't a special, only this relative or whatnot. So with the medium readings, I just ask for you to say who you're looking to talk to, because, again, this is sample readings. Normally on a one-on-one reading or even in my gallery readings, I don't need you to give me the information of who, but to get right to the point, because once we open up that gateway, there's many spirits who will be very excited to talk to you, and just to make sure we get to the person quickly. And you just let me know if who they are. Names don't hold a vibration for me, so if you say it's my mother, my father, you know, you get the idea. And I'll remind you of that. And also to just allow yourself to converse back with me. So participate in the reading, not necessarily give me information. I'm not going to try and pull information from you. But to confirm. So confirmations is like, yes, that makes sense, or no, that doesn't make sense. The reading's going to go where I'm going to do a confirmation to make sure it's the person we think they are. They're going to tell me something that's detailed. My whole thing as a medium is to make sure we get as many details as possible, as a lot of mediums can give you. I miss you, I love you, and that's great things too, but to make sure that it's them talking, the spirit talking, and not me, I like them to give me the most random details as possible. So that's going to be the readings tonight. If you're interested in getting one-on-one readings, you can go to my website at Adela Levine, and we'll give it through the night, and it'll be posted, I believe, .com, ADLALAVINE.com, or thegreenmanstore.com. And also I have do gallery readings, where I do very small gallery readings where it's like about a number of 25 to 30, so that every single person in the gallery reading gets a reading. So I'm not interested in doing huge gallery readings and you just watch me read like five people. I just had someone tell me that somebody they knew, I think it was my sister, knew somebody, I think it was my niece actually, and I told her, just tell her, call me. She doesn't need to go to a big gallery reading. That she was going to go to one where the person charged $250, and then like not everybody's guaranteed a reading, and that's just why I do it small. And also in September, and I'll mention this again later, we're going to restart doing our working seances, which basically is not the scary, weird thing you see on TV. It's more kind of for you to practice your sight. So it's like the gallery reading, but a little more, a lot more intense, where I lead it and the person I do it with, Griffin, keeps the protection space around, and you get to kind of try to practice using your own sight and see if you can speak to your loved ones, and I help you along with that in September and October. And then what we're going to do for this show tonight, something kind of on a little more, well, not that this isn't already on a serious note, but something kind of dear to my heart has come to pass, and I kind of took it upon to do a twofold thing. One, I'm going to ask all of our light healers and spiritual folk out there to use their light energy to raise up for somebody I know who needs it right now. And I'm going to use what's going on with her to kind of explain something. So let me explain. I have a client. She's actually, I'm not going to give any names for her protection of her and her family's privacy, but she's very ill, and she's in the hospital. She's very young. And she actually is something that's special to me, is that she was one of the first people I, quote, came out to about what I do. Her roommate was working with me when I was working in the coffee business field. I was running a coffee catering business, which is a whole other life. And I had, you know, scarily so told him about what I do, like not knowing if he'd be into it. And he was like, you know, interested. And I gave him a ride home, and he introduced me to his roommate at the time. And she was, and just kind of blurted out, oh, she's a medium. And I like kind of froze and freaked out, and I'd never told anybody before.
It wasn't as accepted back then.
It wasn't as accepted. And we're only talking about probably about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And she, eyes lit up. She wasn't exactly like, oh, this is her life, but she was open and totally into it. And I was not expecting that, because I, at that point, was honing my abilities from home over the phone for free, and then I was doing it on donation, so that I believe in, like, you know, you don't you hone your abilities first before you get into a professional setting. So she was kind of my semi first professional reading, and she wanted a reading. I did a medium reading for her, and then I did a little bit about her, and I never had done that before. And so she had told I didn't know, she knows a lot of people, and she told all these people, and they all came flooding towards me, and she kind of helped me give me the courage to kind of go along this path.
Oh.
So now I always talk about her when I think about how I got
true, you know, one of the people that helped me get started.
Yeah.
And now she's in need. I was talking to some people, her friends and other people, about my belief, and I'm just going to state this is what I've learned to be true, and this is my belief. It doesn't mean everybody has to take this belief system up, but that the spirit has free will, and that if there's somebody who is ill and they're in the hospital and you want them to rise up and get better, telling them to get better and praying for them is great, but when you're praying for them in a sense of like you must get better, you have to get better, almost like it's against your will, I'm going to pull you to get better, doesn't quite, isn't as effective as if you talk to the spirit of that person, say, look, this is why, and you know, you've seen that in movies sometimes when the person is in a coma or something and the loved one's sitting there talking to that person in the coma saying, look, this is why I need you to come back.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk to the spirit about why they need to come back, it's even the best. You know, you have this to accomplish. This person you love is here. You know, I remember you have you wanted to travel. You know, things to motivate them to want to rise up and fight. Because when you're in a coma or you're very sedated and under and very sick, you're walking between the worlds. So you're walking between this world and the next. And it's very easy to get seduced into, wow, I have no pain. I don't have to deal with the pain. I'm over here. But they're not quite through the veil, because through the veil is when you pass. So they're kind of deciding, and they kind of are deciding. What you can do is state your case. Like, look, this is why I feel you need to rise up. Your spirit needs to get strong. Many, many doctors and other people will admit that it's really important for the spirit, and that if the spirit is strong, and we've all said that, then the spirit will rise up. But the spirit has to also want it. So we're going to get more into free will of the spirit and on the other side, free will of the spirit on this plane, because the whole beauty of us having life and being in the physical form is that we have free will over our life. Doesn't mean that we always make the greatest choices. It doesn't mean we always, take the road less traveled, but it is our free will and our right, so to speak, to learn our lessons and how we choose to, or take the path that we choose to. So that's what we're going to talk about. And just for a quick moment, if everyone who understands, or even if you don't, if you would shoot up a sense of strength and energy more to this person, and I know people feel like they have to know the name. You really don't if you just tap into the energy through me. Or
with
just,
their intention.
With their intention, exactly. And you just set up giving her the strength to make the decision whichever way she's going to, but giving her the strength to endure what she's enduring, which is would be the best. And the light for her to climb onto, so she's not just feeding off her own energy and getting so tired, because her physical body is tired. So if we can shoot up like kind of like a shot in the arm energy to her, just on thought, if you just in a 1, 2, 3 with your thought, like now shoot that energy, is really kind of all you need to do. And if you do feel affected by the story, or you understand because you have been there and you know what it's like, and you want to shoot that energy up, that's awesome. I would appreciate that. And that's kind of all I'll get on with that. But yes, so for the show tonight, our theme is kind of the spirit and free will, right? That's
yes.
What we were gonna.
Yeah. Okay. And this is really something to help people along when they do come across something like this.
Right.
And understanding when people are needing prayer of strength.
Right. Yeah. And I will real quick say, maybe later in the show, I don't know if I need to say it now, but when my father was under, was kind of how I discovered it. It was my own personal experience of helping talk to him and bringing him back for a little shorter time to extend the time that I wanted with him. But it was definitely his free will. And it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And our prayers of strength go out to those near and dear to you. Thank you so much for helping everybody, too. So we'll keep that engine running in the background. And we're going to touch more on the, like Adela says, free will, both on our journeys here when we're,
mm-hmm.
because we had talked
right.
about, I had asked you, by the way, just people don't really know that we barely see each other except on show day,
yeah.
right? And
right.
for about maybe if we're lucky a half hour before to have a little
right.
snack and chat. And so we basically kind of wing this and let the spirit move us, so to speak.
Yes, that's
and,
the way I like it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... So Adela would like to, like she says, talk about free will, both on our journey while we're here, because I had asked her, are we here with an ordained destiny?
Right.
Or does it just keep changing as we go along? And Adela is going to be explaining about that, as well as, like, her dear friend who is struggling whether she's going to stay here or move on, and that free will,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So we'll get into some of that, and we've got the lines pretty darn full, so if it's all right with you, if we could maybe
sure.
grab a couple calls in the meantime, and thank you so much
yeah, sure.
for listening to this. We're going to go to the 727 area code first,
mm-hmm.
just a moment. 727,
okay.
you're on the air.
Hello?
Oh, yes, hi.
Hi. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Lisa.
Lisa? Okay.
Sorry about the cough.
You okay?
yeah, I'm fine.
A
Thank
lot
you.
Of touchy throats today. Who were you looking? Sorry, what? Not what, but who were you looking to speak to tonight?
Like my grandmother.
Your grandmother? Okay.
Yeah.
Is this on your mother's side?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to see who's here, and we're going to do the confirmations, as I explained earlier. The confirmation is to make sure it's her and it's not somebody else and that I'm picking up the right person. So we'll see if this is her, okay?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Have you ever had a medium reading before?
Yes, I have.
Okay, awesome. Okay, let's see. The woman that I saw right away had said to me that she was on the mother's side, so I think she's here, and I think this is her, but let's make sure. When she came in, she kind of has like a cross between a very, like she's very loving towards you, but kind of like a sternness, but not like mean stern, you know what I mean, just someone who kind of holds the line, so to speak. And but it's funny, she shows me this side of her, but then when she turns to you, she kind of turns a little bit more mushier inside, at least. Was she more motherly than just a grandmother to you? In
yeah.
other words, she feels more like, I guess it's my interpretation of grandmothers, you know, once in a blue moon, and that's kind of not. You know, you see them when you see them, and that's not how she's showing me is what I mean. She feels connected to you, like she was involved in your life. Does that make sense to you? Like, you know, more
yeah,
intimately
I mean.
Involved. And then she's talking about, what's she showing me? When she talks about her passing, she says, she's showing me, she's kind of like, I'm kind of trying to, I should explain to everybody, to you and to everybody out there, if I pause sometimes, I'm actually talking in my head to them, and I'm kind of shooting a bunch of questions. So so sometimes it takes them a minute to catch up with me. But when she talks about her passing, basically what she was saying to me, she doesn't want to go over all of her ailments. She says that she feels like she saw her death coming, but it's like she doesn't have a harshness about it. Like, she's like, I'm kind of at peace about it. You know, she's, in other words, she's saying, I did see it coming and it was scary, you know, in the moment, but she feels like, you know, she doesn't have like a feeling of shockness or like, oh my God, I passed. That's not the feeling I get. And she's talking about, she keeps saying this, so I'll just repeat what she's saying. She keeps holding on to her head. Like, she keeps holding her head. And it's the feeling she's giving me is almost like it gets almost numb and hot. Do you understand this at all? Okay.
Yeah.
And she's saying that that was pretty much the worst of it for her towards the end. And she's saying that pretty much once she passed, she kind of disconnected from her body pretty easily. I don't know if she was, like, well-versed in things like this or if she, because it doesn't seem like she's that shocked about where she's at, in other words. So I don't know if she had her own, like, strong spiritual belief system, because she definitely has such a calmness about her whole death. Now, what's the numbness and the heat in her head? Do you know, can you confirm that? What that means?
I'm not sure about her medical history because I was so young, you know?
Okay. Do you know what that she's talking about as far as her passing? Do you know how she passed and why she's talking about the heat and numbness in her head? Or is that something we can't confirm?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm not able to confirm it because I just don't. I was so young, you know?
Okay. That's okay. We can get her to jump into something else. Now, when you wanted to talk to her, she's talking about. Now, your mother's here, right? Your mother's alive.
Yes, my mother is alive.
Well, it's because the reason I'm asking is because when you wanted to talk to her, was it more about your mother or is it more about her? Or is there a concern about your mom, or you're trying to help your mom about your grandmother because she's pointing towards your mother? But it don't feel like your mom's in danger of something. Like, it doesn't feel like there's an illness, but she's asking. It's like she's pointing to you saying, like, are you more trying to connect to her for your mom, or was this really for you?
For me, like, just maybe she has any messages for me about my life or anything she...
Oh, okay. So, like, help you with your life. Okay.
Yeah. I'm open.
Because it's just the reason is that she's definitely... Because you and your mom are okay, right? You guys aren't distant?
No, we are distant.
Okay, that's what it is. This was very kind of confusing because she's, when you said that you wanted to know about you, she just kind of insisted about your mom. And then she's like, well, there's like something she's worried about the two of you. And then she's talking about, anyway, she wants you to know that it's not anything you can fix or change, like, she understands why you've chosen to step aside, I guess, like, or step away from your mom. She's also saying that as far as you go, she feels that it's almost like there's, like, a pressure maybe from your family or for you to feel like you have to conform to your family or something about feeling very different, and she's just talking about that, not to worry about that you just, you know, she might have not said this in life, but she says you should just kind of march to your own drum, you know, beat of your own drum, and don't let them put you down and make you feel bad about your choices in life. Cause
right.
What she's
very accurate. There was abuse in my family, and I spoke out against the family, and I talked about the abuse, and nobody will talk to me anymore. Everybody treats me they're treating me like I'm almost like a liar or a fraud, I'm not upset about it anymore. You know, I'm just kind of like, okay, you know, the truth is the truth, and if you guys can't deal with it, fine.
Right. Well, I guess she's trying to confirm more about that. She validates your emotions and, I mean, what you're doing, and she feels it's just kind of like a weakness on their part, and I guess she's trying to give you, like, that kind of validation you weren't getting from them.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. Does that do it for you, Lisa? Okay. Yes, and thank you so much. She is, it's very interesting because even though she didn't have validation with the grandmother, a lot of times it's very difficult for now. We've decided to just go with medium readings because we were able to do more validations, and then we have a situation where they can't validate what they are,
So sometimes people, it's like, you're not always, you could be young, you could have not been there for every detail. The spirit does lead the reading, but sometimes I push them so they adhere to me because I'm going, look, I want you to validate how you died. They sometimes, if they're not answering it, there might be for a reason, and I have to realize maybe there's a reason they don't want.
Yeah.
And they know better than me because I don't know.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
It seems like this grandmother who was really close to Lisa was validating that she's still with her and it's okay even if she's being alienated from the family to just stick to her guns.
Yeah, I think the validation was definitely more for her. In this particular case, it was more of an emotional thing.
Yeah.
If you are somebody who's speaking up against something like abuse and something that is so, violating and painful, and your own family isn't there to kind of support you or support you at all through it, then, yeah, that there are definitely a lot of times the spirit realm wants to let you know that you may not be getting what you need in this realm, even from your own family, but maybe sometimes it's the person you at least expect, a relative or whatnot, that they want. She's validating by acknowledging she saw what is going on and that she understands, and so that she may not have to feel doubtful about her decisions or alone or things like that.
Yeah.
So the spirit realm definitely wants to help you emotionally as well as tangibly.
Yeah. Oh, that was really neat.
For sure.
Yeah, that was really good. And she might be able to speak to a relative to find out the validation of the head just for her own self, sense of knowing that grandma was there. To find out about the head situation, how she might have passed. So,
yeah, that could happen in a later time.
Yeah. So
it's not a big deal.
Very good. Thank you for sharing, Lisa. We're going to go on now over to the 410 area code. Just a moment, please.
410. Is that Northern Cal?
Hello, 410. You're on the air.
Hi.
Anybody there?
Hello.
Well, we're going to put you on hold there for now, and we're going to go on now to the 913 area code. Just a moment, please. 913.
Yes, hi. Good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
Yeah. My name is Andy.
Andy, okay.
Yes, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. You're about to tell me.
Yes. I wanted to hear from my dad.
From your dad, okay. All right. Okay, so like I said earlier with the, you've heard that we're going to see who's here, make sure through confirmations that it's him and not somebody else and whatnot like that. So let me see who's here.
Okay.
Yeah, there's someone who, when he comes in, it is a male. He is greeting you with a kiss. It's funny because he has a big grin on his face. He's also talking about, now he might have not passed young, but he's definitely showing me him more young. So, well, relatively young is what he's saying. Sometimes they like to come in that way. That's like a preferable way. And then sometimes it's actual literally this is when they passed. He keeps repeating the terms, I was relatively young. So he doesn't want to give me an impression of like super young. Did your dad pass kind of like in his 60s or something?
He was in his 50s.
Okay. Because to me he looked more like 65 or something. But that's doesn't mean that's just my perception of his age. It's interesting because he looks pretty young, but then other parts of him look pretty worn down, so I'm going to try and see if he can explain what that means. Well, what he keeps pointing to is his head. Like, I don't know if he had hair still. I think he's pointing to his hair. I'm not sure. Because he's kind of excited and jumping all over the place, so I'm trying to get him to settle down and not jump from subject to subject. He wants to talk about, well, at least I'm pushing him to talk about his passing. When he talks about his passing, he feels that things kind of moved a little bit on, quickly for him. But he's definitely saying something about like him putting up a pretty good fight. Like he feels like he's like, yeah, you know, I did the best I could. He goes, I think I did a pretty good job considering the circumstances. But you know, he feels like at some point it took him, you know, like in other words, he's commenting on my whole free will thing actually. And he's saying, like, you know, my will was strong. He says, but at some point your body or his body kind of took over. And then it's almost like he succumbed to it. That's how he just describing.
Yeah.
He succumbed to it.
Yeah.
So he said, he's like, yeah, I guess it's funny. He's like, it's like he's not arguing with me, but discussing with me in my head. Like, well, I guess you're right. In a way, I did do a free will because I did, like, succumb to the idea. So he's funny. When he talks about his passing, he says that he felt like his body was, like, almost being, like, attacked. This might sound really weird, but the visual, and this isn't literal, is the idea of, like, piranhas that, like, attack you, kind of sucking you dry. That's how he felt. Kind of like when you feel drained, like, and I don't know,
right.
Something going on with his blood system. Like, he's showing me his blood through his blood.
It would have been circulation because, you know, his heart was failing and lungs were failing.
Okay, because he's feeling like the feeling he gets, is kind of like vampirish or like piranhas, like when something's sucking your blood out and you just start getting weaker and weaker and you just, that's how he felt. So, you know, he's also saying that, you know, I'm a pretty strong-spirited guy. So it kind of took a lot for him. Now, he kept kind of coming in with a big grin on his face. Now, did he believe in something like this? Because he keeps being proud of himself, saying, see, I did it. He keeps saying, see, I did it. Like, he's proud that he's making contact with you. Are you? Is it, or is it? Or is it that you yeah. told him that you believed in this and you were going to...
Yes, I told him that I believed in it actually when I was fairly young. But we never talked about, you know, making contact. But he had a very logical mind. And when I told him, you know, I kind of quoted Shakespeare, there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy. And he just looked at me and said, I know. And we never really discussed it.
Right. Right. Okay. So I think it's his way of giving you your, this is my term, not his, but giving you your props, giving you your, like, credit. Like, okay, see, you're right. I did do it. It's kind of more my thing.
No, that's cute.
Yeah. And he's just also saying something about, there's definitely a lot of life in him, and he appreciates that you tend to think about him and dwell on him in his life state rather than his illness. So in other words, it's like he sees your thoughts. It's like your memory goes through him in life. And this big grin, I kind of feel like it could be a picture or something, because he's definitely, he keeps saying he wants you to see him smiling, like the visual of him smiling. So I feel like what it is when he shows me his, when he's getting sick and towards the end and all the stuff that happened to him was like really the worst for him, to lose his independence and lose, to be so vulnerable and to grow so weak. Because he definitely feels like a strong energy. He didn't make things, did he? Because he keeps showing me, keeps holding up his hand towards a rainbow. He keeps creating a rainbow, and he keeps saying something about the word creating, and he keeps saying that to you, unless it's you, because he keeps saying, keep creating. Aww. What do you do?
Well, you know, it's real fitting. I'm in graduate school pursuing a PhD, and he was the first in his family to go to college and to get a PhD, and I've often wondered what he would say, you know, about my doing this.
Okay. Because he put a rainbow over your head, and it's like he's kind of, he is very cerebral, but he's got like kind of philosophical poeticness to him. So it's like he's saying, you know, just remember you're almost at the end of the rainbow, because I guess it's been a long road for you or a lot of work for you.
And
obviously anybody who pursues what you're doing is, but he feels like especially for you. So he's saying just never lose sight of the end of the rainbow. And he's kind of laughing about himself because he feels like he's being corny, but he's doing his best. Because it's not like him. He feels very cerebral, philosophical, scientific almost. And one last thing, he wants to let you know, he's having a really good time learning about the science of things, like quantum physics and how does this all work.
And this
is how he spends his time. And I don't know why he keeps showing me him in shorts and the sun around him. So I don't know if that's his retirement issue or I don't know. It's like, I don't know why he came in that way, so I don't know if that has anything to do with the way he lived his life or if he's just symbolically trying to show his relaxation or what. He wasn't like a shorts guy, was he? I didn't get that impression.
No, he didn't. He didn't really let himself enjoy life while he was here,
and I'm really
happy to hear that.
Okay. Well, he's doing the best he can, but the way he does it is very much in the mind. You know, he's analyzing, researching, and learning. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh. Well, thank you
really
so
neat
much.
Guy.
I really appreciate hearing that.
Thank you so much, Andy.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing so much. It's interesting. I've seen you do readings before with people who have crossed who are more philosophical in the way that they try to give descriptions on things. That sometimes they are more cerebral when they're trying to show you visuals, and it makes it a little bit different to interpret. Yeah.
I would say that I always find people who are really cerebral a lot of fun because they do a lot of really creative
symbolism.
Uh-huh. So they're usually kind of pretty respectful about not bombarding me with the feelings. So in other words, I don't have to feel everything he felt before he passed or while he's passing or feel his fear. And so because he's so cerebral, he's kind of almost like having fun analyzing with me and even teaching me a few things about how things work. Because they flash things very fast. I don't say everything they're showing me because we're kind of working it out. So in other words, I ask him questions and he's like, do-do-do-do, kind of downloading and shooing things really fast. And so what he was kind of showing me was jumping around and showing me the whole thing about quantum physics and the whole thing about, just kind of how he's learning how things work and all that kind of stuff. And so there's kind of like an excitement there. But the one feeling he was giving, and a lot of times spirits do, was his emotion towards her is usually pretty strong.
Right.
Comes in really strong.
Yes, and seeing how she's trying to reach that end of the rainbow thing, and
his emotions. I mean, like it's like love, or like if someone comes in and they're upset with someone, they'll push that energy pretty strong on me, and I can always tell if the person truly is close to that person or not because that emotion will be really strong. Kind of like if you see. Like if you were watching a mother and daughter, sitting at lunch, you could tell if they're kind of feeling distant, the energy, or if you could feel like, wow, they're really close.
Oh, that's a good
idea. Yeah, so they'll push that emotion. I'll be like, oh, okay, you guys don't feel like you're really that close, whereas he was trying to show, the strong emotion he had towards her. But, yeah, people who are cerebral like to... kind of joke a lot about they don't want to get into the whole mysticism. They want to get into whole like explaining to me, the scientific, end of things and philosophical, and it's pretty funny.
Well, that's interesting.
But it works just as well.
Yeah.
And I learn always.
And you learn new symbolism that they're trying to show you too, right?
Yeah. Well, usually they kind of tend to use the same symbolisms. That they know I'll respond to. The reason why is they're kind of reading my telepathic mind and they know how I think and they kind of quickly get a feel of what's going to resonate with me. The other thing that we're getting into a whole kind of deeper thing is that they call me the lady on the other side. So the lady, I later learned, is kind of like a respectful term, but they're also not seeing me like how I look here. So they're seeing, quote, my higher self or another piece of myself that is the part of me that I send to the other side, because the way I read is I kind of go to them and I converse with them with a piece of myself. So they are also kind of talking to that part of me, knowing they kind of quickly already know how it's going to convey towards me. It's kind of like a little more, that's where the whole quantum physics things kind of gets into play.
Yeah.
Where you have more than you in one place, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get into that.
Yeah.
I'm
a quantum physics expert, but it's the idea that they show me, instead of it like, oh, it's the duplical version of me, it's another type version of me. Another piece of me. And I've had people sitting in readings watching me read will say, looks like your face disappeared for a minute, or it looks like you turned into someone else for a minute. So people who are like not people who normally see things. So that's usually helped me even validate more, because they're like, I never see things like this. This is really, like tripping me out, like I'm seeing this. I think that's what they're seeing.
Different pieces of you.
Different pieces of me.
There's so much to learn about this. It's as complicated as quantum physics.
Yeah, and the thing
hard
is,
to explain.
And the thing is that in a lot of ways it's really not, because, you know, energy begets energy, and energy leaves the we've learned that energy never dispenses and disappears completely. It just turns into a different form. So, like, you know, water turns to ice, and then ice turns to water, or if something evaporates, it goes somewhere. It doesn't just, it actually turns into something else. You know, we pass, we go into the earth, we turn. And so if you believe, I guess the hard part is for people to believe that if you, when you pass, your energy is your consciousness, and that your consciousness, that you're consciously aware, and that you have a spirit and you have a soul, then the spirit and the soul meet up together and they can exist in a conscious state. And from what I've seen, that's just electrical current energy.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, which is like, I mean, and so we do it all the time. We go, oh, that person has really bad energy.
Yeah,
oh, my energy is really low. Oh, that person has good energy. Oh, I went into the room, the energy feels really weird. Or you, for those of us who remember TV before cable, and you had little antennas, and you would touch the antennas, and you would stand there, we would watch our own electrical currents touch another electrical current to bring in an image into the TV. So that's what I'm doing.
Oh, gosh, that is great. Yeah, that's
I'm
a great analogy.
Touching the rabbit ears and putting my energy onto that energy to give you a visual.
Right.
It's really interesting because the Native American culture and other cultures, and I even was one time saw this kind of in a meditative state and then read about it later, that really when you see a picture or we see movies, all we're doing is capturing something in time, and we are being in one place then once. People just accept it because they understand the technology of it. But imagine if you were from not this time, if you were like 200 years ago and you popped into here, you'd be totally freaked out. You'd be like, it's something spiritual, it's something bad, it's, how are you doing this? How are you in that box? And you're
traveling.
Right. So pretty much, if you were to have seen a picture of you in the TV and you're sitting here talking to me and I didn't know anything about technology, I would think you were doing some crazy mystical trick.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Right.
But as we evolve and we grow and learn technology, we tend to understand how that is possible.
Right.
As for an example, that's all we're doing as spiritual beings. If we can evolve and understand, we may realize that we can exist in another place, and our loved ones can exist somewhere, and we can talk to them just like we do on the telephone.
Right.
Which
right.
is why I always like to call myself just the telephone line.
Right. And, you know, it just flashed on me. You know how they talk about how, for example, people's dogs, they, before you even get home, they can feel that you're coming home,
yes.
that telepathy. Well, on the other side of the glass, as you put it, people, our loved ones who have crossed, left, and, you know, transcended out of our
right.
bodies, is it kind of the same type
it
of
is
thing?
It's totally the same thing. A matter of fact, for all of everybody listening, if you ever hear a sound that sounds like a really high pitch sound, it's a vibrational sound.
Yeah.
For instance, I have a cat, and she, a lot of times if I hear a sound or I recognize a spirit has just come into my space, she'll look right over before me even.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go, wait, what did you just see? And then I tap in and go, oh, yeah, I see it too now.
Right.
So she's tapping into that frequency as well.
Yeah.
Animals are amazing because they're just built that way, and they don't have
any doubt.
They don't have any doubts. They don't
right.
have any fear. And so they just kind of organically go, yeah, whatever, that's the way it is. And so, yes, it's the same thing. So I always say, you know, that maybe my antennas were just raised a little bit. My frequency, I was born with this frequency kind of maybe at this certain level that we all can do. And so it is like, you know, I'm hearing that frequency. People, like you and I could be in the same room, I could start talking to someone and feeling them, and you might actually get something too, just like you're saying the dog sees something before us, but it just may not be on that same potent level. You know, you might go, yeah, you know what, I felt something weird kind of pass by and right when you said that. So, yeah.
How much we can tune into the details.
Yeah,
huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so tuning into details, which I'm glad you said, is something I've honed. So, yes, I first just got these raw hits, you know, so this is what we call hits in this type of line of work, if you want to call. And hits are kind of when you go, I get a feeling the person's not going to call me. I have a feeling I'm not going to get the job. I have a feeling those are kind of hits. If you ever get readings and the person says something to you like, oh, you know, I'm getting a hit that this person is not a good person for you, be careful. That's a hit. If you want to hone your abilities and you want to flourish out the messages a lot more, you might want to check on more than that, because now you just told the person this person's bad and you didn't check why. So I teach a class on this. If anybody's interested, in August, there'll be a 101 class starting again. And what I always tell the students is I say, if you're getting a hit about this person, don't just say, oh, this person's bad for you. You need to, you know,
go deeper.
Get deeper. Why? Because you could be like, oh, they're bad for you because they're really grumpy in the morning. So now you've just freaked the person out, you know, sent them home going, oh, my God, this person's really bad for me, and you didn't get the whole hit. You know, it's like, well, it wasn't like the person's like this horrible, awful person.
So you take them through exercises in class to be able to get more sensitive to
information. Yeah, I take them through. Yeah, in the class, my belief system is, I don't want you to listen to me to teach you, so to speak. I'm going to help you view the tools, and I take you under in kind of what people call maybe like a meditative journey, but it's not really meditation. Meditation in my book is when you empty the mind. This is a journey where I kind of push you through the veil to open you up so that you can converse with your guides and spirit teachers yourself, and then I help open you, clean you off, and then bring you back through the veil, and then we do exercises reading on each other so that you can practice your abilities and I can show you ways to hone them. The key thing, though, to be a conduit, to be somebody who is going to be a messenger, is you have to clean your own stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you got to push yourself out of the way. Nobody cares what I have to say. Nobody wants my opinion. Nobody wants to know what does Adela think. They want to know what is that spiritual energy, that pure energy coming through you, the higher part of you, or all of your guides and my guides and everybody in the higher place working together to help guide you think, not me. Because I'm just like, getting pissed off at traffic, and I don't really have, you know, so when I open myself up and I allow that energy to come in, it's a much purer energy. So in order to allow yourself to empty out, void your ego out, push your ego out. It's not about you. Not
right.
About you.
Right.
You've got to clean yourself off, and you've got to do maintenance. And in my class, we just kind of start fresh by cleaning yourself off, opening up all of your portals, the chakras and all that, to be clear and free to be a messenger. You can't be a messenger for somebody else if you're getting yourself in the way.
And when you say by getting yourself in the way, you mean like...
You always get that feeling, and everyone, if you're somebody, not everyone, but people like who get readings have experience when someone's telling you something and you're like, is they really giving me the message, or is they just trying to give me, are they just basing this on their own experience? You know, are they being biased, in other words? So when you're, the other thing, number one thing that I will say is get yourself is in the way when you're worried about being right. You know, I was right. I told you the right thing. I was right. Because then your ego just starts to get nasty and take over.
Right.
And I have said to people, I could be wrong. I'm telling you what I feel and see and the message that's coming to me. But definitely could be getting it wrong. I had to let go of that a long time ago. And so if I'm getting it wrong, so be it. So that's part of getting, you know, maybe I have to go check on it, maybe I have to recheck. That's okay.
The interpretation that spirit's
showing you. Interpretation could be off. So if you get caught up on being right, then basically you're getting caught up on yourself. You're getting caught up in you showing off what you could do, not being a conduit for that person.
Right.
It's okay. It's an honor. It's difficult, but it's an honor to be the messenger. It doesn't mean it isn't a challenge. It doesn't mean it doesn't have its things, just like everything else.
Yeah.
But when you're getting
it's
caught
not textbook,
up,
textbook
it's
science.
Not textbook, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely getting out of your way is saying you can't be afraid to be wrong. You can't be afraid. You can't put yourself into it and say, well, when I've experienced that myself. So you really are tuning into the person in front of you and allowing the message to come through. Hopefully that is the goal.
Yeah.
I would look for that when you're looking for readers.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Wish I had time to take your class. Oh, darn it. Okay. Let's
can
see.
Do
well,
we can figure something out.
Okay. All right.
I think you're taking it now.
I am.
Because
yeah,
this is pretty much I'm doing.
This has been
class,
an amazing experience.
You know.
That's
yeah.
What I love about, I'm able to see that now doing the show with you and
oh,
seeing these
awesome.
Readings.
Awesome.
That's what
for
was
me
great
too.
About seeing the gallery before the radio show happened,
mm-hmm.
is to watch you read with people and watch the process with different people, different situations, different spirits coming in.
Right.
Different, you know, translating, helping people on the other side, working through their issues, and as well as helping people work through issues here. So it's just really great to watch. How about we go
for another reading?
For another reading, and we're going to take somebody now from the 41. Oh, we did 415. We'll try one more time. Let's see if you're there.
I think that was 410 last time.
Okay, 415. You
hi.
With us?
Yes.
Oh,
hi. Yes, I thought you said. I said, did she get that right? 410 or is it 415?
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
I think I heard 410.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, 415.
Not a problem. A lot of good information. Thank you so much,
awesome.
Ladies.
Good.
And
you.
I always like to know how to know when a reader is reading clearly without themselves getting in the way. So I think explaining
mm-hmm.
it is really key. You know,
yeah,
you want to get the
yeah,
best reading you can get.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like, you know, obviously we're human beings. And if you are being a human being, you're going to have your human being elements attached to it. And there's many times where I use myself as an example in readings, but it's usually to kind of put myself in a vulnerable state so the person understands, like, you know, I've been there, you're not alone, here's an example.
Right.
Or if I didn't explain it right, here's an example from my life. But pretty much, you want to try and give the person a clear reading. What are you a reader?
No, many years ago I did do readings with tarot.
Mm-hmm.
I was living by the water and just my whole psychic
uh-oh.
Energy, because I'm really sensitive to water, just
yeah.
really opened up, and I found myself
yeah.
being able. And I became fascinated with the tarot, and I did it for a while, and was pretty amazed. But I didn't continue to do it. I just didn't want people to become dependent on readings, and maybe I just didn't want that kind of responsibility, you know?
Yeah,
but,
really? I can't imagine why you wouldn't. No, I understand.
But bless your heart and bless all the other people doing it.
No, I understand, and you're absolutely right. She makes a really good point because did you say your name? We just
Sophia.
Got your number, Sophia.
Yeah,
you make a really good point, Sophia, because one of the things that I always say to people about readings, and just kind of before we start her reading, as a good point, is that you don't want people to get dependent, and that's one of the goals of teaching the class is not so much about like I said, the teaching, whereas to kind of always kind of push back to people like you can do this yourself, you know, open yourself up and try your best. You know, of course, you need guidance, and we all need that. I even get readings from, you know, my colleagues and stuff, because we all need that. But when people ask me, you know, like, when should I come back for reading, I always say, you know, let life happen, let things go, and then, you know, check back in, but not, you know, I don't try to encourage it being like, you know, check in on every single, you know, move you make, obviously. And just to comment
right.
on the water thing is definitely awesome, because water is the conduit between the worlds, so water is definitely, you could probably get that in bathtubs and showers. I do a lot of talking in bathtubs and showers. Water, very sensitive
oh, yeah.
water.
I take long showers.
Yeah.
I've been told that
to, like,
I take long showers.
Yeah, you open up and, okay, you know, you want to talk to me. So who are you looking to talk
just
to?
Just don't look.
Yeah.
Cover your
they're
eyes.
Okay, don't worry about it. They're okay. I've actually, funny thing, bringing up a lot of good points, but this is funny. This is really funny. I asked one time, because I do ask these things, people, because my dad used to joke when I used to try to tell him my mom was around. He was like, oh, really? Is she looking at me? Is there a bunch of other spirits looking at me while I'm naked? And he was like, you know, always teasing me. And so one time I asked, and I said, well, what is that deal? Like, you know, you're watching people. And they explained it that it's like they kind of leave the body, they evolve out of the body, and it's kind of like when we watch kids running around naked, it just doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a kid.
Oh, yeah, right.
Or you're changing diapers, and you're kind of laughing about, oh, you're still in this unevolved state of diapers. How cute. Oh, you're still doing that. That's so cute. And that's how they look at it. So obviously evolved spirits more are like that. So who are you looking to talk to?
With my paternal grandmother.
Maternal grandmother, okay. All right, let's see. So I'm going to see who's here, and then we're going to do, again, a lot of checking and confirmations to make sure it's the person we think it is.
Okay.
Let's see. There's a woman coming in. She's coming in almost kind of... an older woman. She is claiming to be your grandmother. She is coming in kind of almost like trying not to be invasive or trying not to bug. Like she's very respectful about how she's coming in. It doesn't mean she's saying it's not like she's being weak or timid. It's almost like she's just like being very, almost like someone who's being very careful to make sure I get everything she's saying right, almost like.
Okay.
Yeah, almost like somebody who's being very thorough is the word I want to say. So let me see what she's saying. When she talks about you and she shows her connection to you, she feels very pleasant, but it's kind of funny. It's like she's observing you. Now, did you know her in life?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Because the way she looks, this woman looks at you is almost like somebody who's kind of fascinated that she's this close to you or that she's observing you. So I don't know if this sort of thing has caught her by surprise. In other words, if she had pictured life or like death a whole nother way, because it's like, all she's doing, and I'm getting her to talk slowly, is staring at you. So sometimes when they do that, it's usually telling me that they're kind of in awe that they're doing this, like they're surprised. Not that she hasn't heard you before or felt you before, but it's just her way of conveying her thought process to me. She's talking about... when she talks about her death, yeah, she just has a very, now she's not from the South or something, is she?
No, not in the States, maybe from in the South in the country that she came from, yes.
Oh, okay.
But not the South of the United States.
Okay, because she's saying something about Southern, South. She kept saying Southern, South.
Yeah.
Yes. By the way, which is me pressuring her to ask her questions, like, where are you from, da da da. Like, I'm kind of bombarding her. So,
okay.
Yeah, because that's kind of how I do it. I kind of throw all these questions out, and they kind of start shooting answers back. She's talking about when she talks about her death. Yeah, she wanted me to re-go visit what she said about saying that this is kind of not exactly what she expected. It's not like she's totally freaked out, but it's almost like when someone goes, not quite what I pictured. Was she religious or something like that?
Yeah, she was.
But it doesn't look, it's not like fanatical or anything. It's just kind of like a system.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's what I mean. Her whole energy is very like, like observing. Isn't this interesting? Like, this is what she's coming across. When she talks about her death, she talks about, she's talking about it coming at her kind of quickly, or that she felt it was a little faster than she, she felt it was a little fast, but then at the same time, I feel like I'm getting pulled under. And whenever I get that feeling of being pulled under, it's kind of like, it's not a slip away. It's more of like, you know, she gets pulled. And she's talking about trying to explain a little more. She's talking about when I ask her if she had diseases or anything like that, she says, no, okay, hold on. She wants me to slow down, sorry. She talks, she moves, and everything's real slow. And she's mostly kind of giving me visuals, you know, rather than talking.
Yes.
So what that's what I meant by she's real thorough. So she says I'm rushing her. I'm just trying to explain her. We don't have a lot of time.
this is a show. we have to move it along.
she's talking about, hold on. Yeah, when she shows me her death, it's like I'm gasping for air. And the thing she hates the most is the feeling she had of almost like the air getting restricted. Now, she wasn't on a machine of some sort, was she?
No. And I do have to admit, I don't know a lot of the details. I know that she
about
went to
she
live
passed.
With her daughter. Yeah,
okay.
I know she went to live with her daughter and my aunt. And I was young. At that time, I wasn't seeing her because of the divorce, but she went to live with my aunt, and she stayed there.
Hold on one second. Okay. She's giving me, like, a taste in my mouth of, like, when you have, like, a lot of salt. Yeah, a salty taste in my mouth. That's what she's doing. All of a sudden, my mouth feels, like, super salty and almost, like, parched for, like, really parched. Yeah, it's weird. There's a lot, it's almost, I almost feel like poisons are coming out or something's going on in her system where everything's, it's either shutting down or excreting out. Like, I don't know if it's an attack on her bloodstream or something. Do you know anything about what she was getting sick with?
At that point, I don't know. I know earlier on some years, like a decade or so before, she had had a, I don't want to say a heart attack, but what's the other thing when you kind of leave paralyzed on one side? A stroke.
Like a stroke.
So,
okay.
Yeah, she had a stroke, but she was able to walk with a limp on one side, and she was able to talk, but, you know, then she was, older than she got older. She was just, I think, about 72 when she passed.
Oh, okay. I don't understand what the whole thing she's talking about with the salt thing, unless there's something having to do with, like, a restriction in her diet about that. Or, no, it's just something she keeps showing me. Because she keeps, I feel like this has more to do more towards the end. She's kind of taking me through all the things that were kind of happening in her body. But since you weren't there, it's not going to be very helpful. but the bloodstream part, I guess, is kind of more her way of talking about the stroke. She's also talking about real quick, she's just saying that she feels that there's some kind of connection you and her have, even though there's I guess you guys were at a distance or something like that.
Towards the end, yes, but when earlier on there wasn't, but towards the end there was a distance.
And when you guys, did you feel like a kindred spirit towards her or something? Or is she just feeling that way about you? Okay. And then she's talking about, she's going into, all of a sudden she flashed into the past and I'm like at a piano and she's kind of moving to music and she's talking about music and she's talking about this piano and she's kind of swaying to the music. Now, is this her kind of dream or a thing she did, or is this your thing you're doing?
Actually, my granddaughter, she's been studying piano for about 4 or 5 years. She's done recitals, and we're very excited. We're very excited about it.
Okay, it's because I feel like she's sitting there when she's playing, because she's playing music and she's singing to the music, and so it's like, if I don't know if you ever feel her around when your daughter's playing, but she's definitely present. It definitely calls her in, like when she's playing the piano, it like pulls her, which is kind of
nice.
That kind of vibration pulls her, and she says to you that this is her kind of the one last thing she's saying is that you as a parent, she feels that you're very, it's like a prideful thing, like she feels you're very involved, very careful to kind of raise your daughter like as a thinking person, like it's just, I don't know if she has said this way in life, but she is definitely wants you to know because she feels like you tend to be hard on yourself in that area. Like you always want to do more, or you always want to do it. I mean, of course, any parent does, but she feels like you kind of go above and beyond, and that you should. I guess she just wants to give you that. I don't know if your mom ever tells you those things. Is your mom here? Does your mom involve in your
life?
No,
she's not. My mom was not a. My grandma was really my mom.
She was more, because that's kind of was her thing, like, you're not getting, you didn't get it, and so she wants to be the one to tell you, her pride, her being proud, and, oh, that's what it is, I guess that makes more sense, because you might have worried what kind of mother you were going to be with your circumstances, and she says, stop it, you're doing an amazing bang-up job. And she's just crying now with, like, it's a lot of pride for her.
Proud
of you because she feels like you've really worked on yourself and you really were very thoughtful about what kind of mother you're going to be. And I guess it's important for her.
And I think I had her to draw from. So, you know, and that's the beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I think when you have a loving grandma, you know, it's an amazing thing. Yeah, absolutely. So that's a real confirmation.
When you play, sorry to interrupt, she's yelling out really quick. She's like, when your daughter plays the piano, just talk to her because that pulls her. Yeah, it pulls her into your house or wherever she's playing piano. It doesn't even have to be the house. She shows up. So it's definitely
at the teacher's house. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate
it.
Thank
you, Sophia. Thank you so much.
Thank
and
you, girl.
To you.
Thank you.
Same
Thank
to you.
You. Yeah, that was interesting when you were saying that she was, you thought that maybe she was taking you back. Is that because you saw a little girl and then it turned out it was the granddaughter when you said taking you back to see the piano?
I don't really know. It could be, you know, when things are coming in, it's... it could be my interpretation because I felt like it was the past, but it could be because she's not there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It is the past.
Okay.
Like, in other words, she's passed since her granddaughter's been doing this, I think, was what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of really that's not – when people are showing me stuff, sometimes I'm speaking of it exactly, and then sometimes it's like what I was saying where your human self comes in. and your interpretation.
Right. Because wasn't that you saw a little girl and then
No, she wasn't a little girl. She was an older, she was a lady. But I thought maybe this was some dream of her. I couldn't tell because all she was doing was dancing around this piano.
No.
So I kind of, I guess I was like, well, is this you as an older woman dancing around the piano or is this you as a younger woman? Were you like a dancer? You know, so, you know.
But interesting to see what the process is that happens in your
Well, when
head.
You're doing it like in this type of process, it's like a speed, very speed process. When I'm doing it like a one-on-one process, I would probably, you know, I slow the spirit down really slow and I kind of make sure I'm hearing it and writing it down and then getting like a thorough picture and then maybe say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is kind of like I'm just shooting out the images as they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not really so much that as important as it is her talking about piano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, that was a beautiful confirmation. Beautiful. Okay, great. All right. Is it okay if we go on to...
Before, you know, we go on to another reading because, you know, this is about the... The show is also about, like, giving information. I just kind of wanted to do a little bit
about
what we were going to talk about. Yeah.
Yes. And I want to just say I thank you so much for making it over here. I know this is a hard time for you, what you're going through with your close friend right at this crucial time. So thank you.
Well, and it's really more like she's a kind of one of those client. She's really a client.
A client that you've
And I've known for a long time, but I would say that I'm on a friendly basis because the way I met her was when I was just really kind of, you know, first starting out and whatnot. So, you know, her family's with her. She has a very, very big group of friends that are with her. So she's very well surrounded. I think her family's just mostly with her, though, in the hospital. But I kind of wanted to cover more about, this is kind of an important question people ask a lot about, you know, the spirit and its role in, you know, here and there. So we were talking earlier where you said, what's the difference between preordained destiny and free will?
Yeah.
So my belief system, again, is that free will... is kind of one of those things that we're lucky to be born with, which is people have heard before that angelic beings, the one of the things they don't have, the one of the things they're not born with is free will, and that they kind of play a role, and that's the role that they play. I was telling you earlier, like animals. Animals are born into, I mean, like obviously there's exceptions, but... If, like I was saying to you, you know, if you're like a polar bear and you live in this kind of environment, then you're a polar bear. You can't, like, decide, I'm going to be a grizzly bear. I'm not going to be a polar bear. I'm going to... You're pretty much set. And I kind of started to get this revolution. It might sound silly, but watching PBS with my son, watching these kid shows on animals and them teaching about animals. And I started watching a lot of them and I realized, you know what, it's almost like we're the aliens because animals tend to live in their environment and they're built for their environment. And we're the only species that has to buy a house, wear clothes, wear shoes, and do all these things to handle our environment. Whereas animals just kind of, their bodies and their whole ecosystem is built already set, and then we come along as humans and we've ruined a lot of it for them. Mm-hmm. So the animals are kind of living in this space of, okay, I play this role. I'm the fish that eats this fish that does this, you know, and they all kind of have this whole system. And people aren't supposed to stray. Like you look at ants. Ants all kind of work in unison. There's, you know, they have a whole system that goes on, and no one wakes up and goes, I'm not going to do this role. Whereas we have this kind of free will. Some people call it a consciousness. Some people would argue, though, that animals have consciousness. So my feeling is that it's a free will that actually separates. And
when we come down, you said something about earlier at one time about how we choose our intention, our
yeah.
intentional path.
Well,
but
our,
it could
right. So our free will, before we're born, we kind of decide, you know, what do we want to do with our life? What do I want to learn on that place? Learning in this physical plane is probably one of the most difficult things ever, because we have all these blocks and things like that in the material world. So we kind of set a plan of, like, what we want to learn, you know, what is going to fulfill us the most in this plane. So we come, we're born, we're this way, and then our parents and the world gets to us and they start telling us, no, you're not that way. And we're like, really? Because I really thought I'm this way. You know, you're at five and you're like, why are you telling me I'm going to be a lawyer? Because I kind of like to paint houses. That doesn't quite, I'm confused. Mm. So we kind of get pushed and told, nope, this is what you're going to do, da-da-da-da, tradition, this and this and that, this is what who you are. And our free will is always kind of fighting against it and trying to find and strive and philosophize and seek answers about who we are, why are we here, and all that stuff.
What our intended
purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
So when people come to a reading, and I always say to them on an intuitive reading, I don't believe in preordained destiny. So I'm not going to say to you, this is going to happen, end of story, nothing you can do about it, it's happening. What I will say is that I see that this is the path that you're heading on, and on this path, if you just kind of don't do anything, you just kind of let it happen, do, dot, 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 is going to happen. But as a guide on this plane, I try to say, you know, if you turn left, if you turn right, maybe if you pay attention and have this conversation with this person and that person, you might actually avoid some of these pitfalls. You might actually turn around this corner. It's kind of like the Matrix out of the movie, looking at the Matrix, going turn left, turn right, you know, go over here, and this will guide you this way. So can you change what's happening on that path? Yes. So I have done many readings where I've told people things. I see this happening on this path. And they're like, okay, awesome, Dela, see ya, and they do whatever they want, obviously, and I don't expect them to, like, follow me to a T, and they come back and go, guess what, I just didn't listen to you, I want to do what I wanted, and those things happened. So
you saw those obstacles coming if they take
right.
path A versus path B, but it's their free will to
it's
take it.
It's their free will. So I'm going to say, look, you're asking me to use my sight to help guide you through this, this is what I see. Am I always right? No.
Mm-hmm.
Do I maybe get the message wrong sometime? Yes. But am I going to do the best to get purely to guide you through it? Yes.
From what you're seeing.
From what I'm seeing. So in other words, if you head down that street, there's going to be a rock in the road. There's a dent on the, there's a pothole on the left side. And there's going to be, like, you know, a fork in the road that you might want to, you know, slow down. If you say, whatever, Dale, I've been on that road so many times. I don't know what you're talking about. I've kind of looked down that road a little bit myself, and I kind of think it's smooth sailing. So, see ya, thanks for you, bye. And then you go down the road, and it's like boom, 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 and you're like, come
oops,
back.
There it is.
Yeah, oops, there it is. I'm not trained to tell you, like, I am right, do this thing.
Yeah.
I'm saying, hey, I'm just trying to help you out.
Right.
You might want to not go to left. You
sure.
might want to go right, and then you could avoid those dents. Your car is going to be okay. Slow down the fork in the road, so... because I know that guy always kind of speeds up and he might hit you. That's all I'm trying to do. You know, you could take it or leave it. Like, you know, obviously, maybe you're going to learn some other lesson. Maybe you've decided you want to learn a different way.
Yeah.
That's your free will. Thank God for free will, because
yeah.
otherwise we're robots.
I see.
So that's so what I do is that's how I believe. So with your spirit having free will, if you are sick and your body goes into a place or you're in a car accident or something, God forbid, happens, and you are in that place of that people have written about and talked about, of near-death experience, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of are in the in-between state. You're not quite leaving this place and you're not quite there. And you are shown, like, hey, look, you know, I know it's going to be a tough road, but if you kind of try to fight for your life, come back, then you can have there's somebody like pulling on me, so there's.
I know you're looking a little.
Yeah, because there's
distracted.
Yeah, there was like just some spirit pulling on my arm. Then they might be they have the choice. The person I got distracted. They have the choice to. You have a choice to decide. Do you want to come back and deal with what you have to deal with? Or do you want to learn your lessons on the other side? Now, that is not to say I'm sure some people, and I've had a lot of deaths in my life, so I'm sure you're like, well, I know the person in my life. They were fighting for their life. I know they wanted to live. So I kind of find it hard to believe that and all of that. And I totally understand that, that the person, we're not talking about people who, you know, things happen to them and it's taken away from them. We were just mostly talking about when someone's like in a coma or someone's in that place where people have seen like now it's up to them to fight for their life, or people who are kind of given...
hit with a heavy
right,
disease or
right,
something.
Yeah, and sometimes people are like, you know, I do want to fight, but I just don't know how much because it's really difficult and my body's tired and I just kind of, you know, want to go. And how I came to terms with that was my own father was in a coma. My whole family, I was around 25, my whole family, or I think I was 28, my whole family was saying, you know, say goodbye, it's done, you know, you need to say goodbye, and I just didn't feel it. So I kept talking to his spirit, didn't quite know what I was doing in those days, but I was calling his spirit, please come back. Now, I didn't demand his spirit and say, you have to come back for me because it's about me. I said, you know, hey, I kind of tried to find a loophole. Hey, why don't you come back to tell us some things you need us to do with your belongings and what you want us to do if you pass? And I kind of was calling him back in that way. Hey, just kind of do us a favor, you know. And so my family thought it was crazy, but I did it anyway. And then they all left for dinner. I'm sitting in the lobby. The nurse comes rushing in. I'm thinking, great, so I'm going to be alone. They're going to tell me my dad passed. And they're freaking out, and they're like, he's sitting straight up, and he's asking for a pen. And so the pen obviously was me telling him, we need you to write, because I kept saying, you need to tell
us.
And he literally started trying to convey what he wanted us to do with his belongings.
Wow.
And so at some point, my father is someone who almost died many times. He's on 34 years on dialysis. He's one of the longest living in the world at the time. And he was tired. So at one point, I looked at him when he came back and said, so you're going to beat this, right? You're going to do your thing, do that thing you do. And he said, can I promise that? Now, I knew right then his spirit was done. My father had many high, very prominent doctors at his fingertips. He made many doctors very famous. He could have fought for his life if he wanted to, but he didn't. He just didn't want to do it anymore. I felt his spirit, and I said to the doctor, I don't know if it counts, but my father said to me he doesn't want to do this, and he said, well, you know what? In all my years as being a doctor, I take what patients tell me. They know when they're going to pass.
Ooh,
better.
Wow.
Doctors will admit that. So that's all I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So obviously there's so many scenarios. I don't want people to take this to mean, oh, yeah, don't worry, the person, you know, whose life was taken from them or things like that, oh, they're free. Well, no, I don't want people to feel like that. But we were talking on this specific, this type of thing that goes on. So if you have somebody that's fighting for their life, if you have somebody who has a disease, if you have somebody who is in a coma, if you talk to their spirit and you talk to them about why they should fight, not just for your selfish reasons, like come and make me happy and come and do things for me, but like why you see they still need to fulfill what they need to fulfill, what will make them fulfilled and happy, and you remind them of things, or you could cheat a little bit like I did and kind of say, well, that is one thing I knew my father wanted was to tell us some stuff. That pulls their spirit more. When you're like, oh, just come because, you know, it's fun to have you around and I miss you and I want you. They're like, well, you know, my body.
They're tired.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
My body's pretty messed
yeah.
up. That's kind of not a good enough reason.
So
you know,
I
need. So that's what we were conveying.
Yeah. Well, that's really important to know for people who are going to be facing anything like that.
Yeah, and everybody at some point usually does, so it could help to feel like you can do something because it's a helpless feeling.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It's a very helpless feeling.
Yeah. Oh,
mm-hmm.
gosh. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm sure that a lot of people will apply that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you say that we grab another caller right
sure.
here?
Sure, okay.
And let's go to that, and I just always love that information. Let's see, we're going to go now over to, we've got the, 518 is next. I'll bring you on. 518.
Hi. Can I hear you?
Hello?
Okay. We're going to have to put them on hold.
Is that the radio show on too loud?
Yeah, they got the...
518, turn down your radio.
For your. That's another thing. Please turn down anything on your computer or the radio there so that we can hear you clearly. And we're going to go now over to the 718.
Wait, what was the... Can we go back to the 518?
Well, we can sure try. Here, let's see.
You there?
518?
Okay. We might have left.
They're hanging asleep. In there. Maybe they had to do a biological rest break, and we'll try to come back to them.
That is a good one. I'm going to use that. That is
trying.
So proper.
I've heard someone else use that before, so I thought I'd pull it out of my hat.
I'm going to steal it.
Okay.
I'm going to say that in my rings. I'm going to use a biological rest break.
Yes. Okay.
I'm very, very smart.
That's right. Okay. All right. So we are going to jump then over to
That's
the
awesome.
845 area code in the meantime.
845. Okay. Let's see if they're there.
845.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi.
I hear you.
Thank you
What's
so
your
much
name?
For taking my call. My name is Margaret.
Margaret, are you? You're not
yes.
looking to talk to a male, are you?
Yes, my father.
Okay, because that guy was
Is that who's pulling
yanking
your arm?
On my arm.
Mm-hmm.
That
I just
him.
Wanted to make sure that it wasn't the 518 because he was
Someone.
Pushing me to like be quiet
oh.
and get to the calls.
Oh.
So.
Oh. Okay.
He was like,
"We're
okay,
doing it. We're doing
can
it.
Can you do me a favor and?" Stop talking and okay.
Okay.
All right. So we're gonna make sure it's him. Although if it isn't him, I'd be shocked because there was someone pulling on my arm. And we'll do the confirmation. Is that okay?
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay. We can't lose you, Margaret, because if this was your dad, he was definitely doing some good stuff to get my attention. Okay. Let's see. Now, well, obviously I saw him, so this, yeah, it's still the same person. The person I saw, he has a very nice spirit. He wants to let me know he wasn't trying to be rude, but he definitely is somebody who was trying to make sure he, like, in other words, like someone who's very persistent and wasn't going to give up. Now, when he shows me how he's passed or the age he passed, he looks pretty young to me. Well, he says that's relative young. Now, you knew him, right?
Yes.
Okay. Was he in his 50s?
No, he was in his 60s.
Oh, okay. He looks younger to me. Did he look young for his age?
He would appear that way.
He would want to appear that way, yeah, because he definitely has a lot of strength, you know what I mean, like a full energy of life. And when he talks about his death, he talks about feeling pretty cheated. He makes me feel like, it's really weird, so I'm just going to explain it. But he's talking about something about getting a really weird smell, and then all of a sudden he feels like he is out. So he's not giving me a lot of information prior to that moment. So he's kind of talking about almost like feeling not kind of confused on what's going on in his passing. Now, we're talking about his passing. Is that odd, or does that make sense to you at all?
No, he knew he was sick, but it did happen quickly. One moment here, next moment gone.
Yeah, and you know what's weird about that is that it's like the way he shows me is like far as he's concerned, he was going to just keep going and keep fighting and, you know, kind of prevail. And then it's like he feels like that's why he feels cheated. He feels like, whoa, wait a minute. Who, like, kind of, you know, turned the switches off? You know, like, who turned the lights off? That's kind of how it feels to him. And that's his perception, you know, obviously. But the other interesting thing is, like, he gets a smell before he passed. I don't know if somebody was wearing perfume or if they were kind of trying to, or if there's something they were, like, a really strong like if they put something under his nose, or I don't know, but he got like a very strong smell. Now, were you standing around him at the time?
No, I wasn't. He died on the way to the hospital in the ambulance.
Okay, because I think they were, it must be that's what he's talking about. It's like they were trying to revive him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't shock his heart, did they? Do you know?
I don't know. I think he was a DNR.
Okay. So do not resuscitate. Okay. Because I'm trying to figure out why he keeps, like, showing me, like, this weird smell, unless it's, like, them trying to put oxygen on him or something over his face. But because it's just so odd, I've never seen it before. So I'm trying to get him. It's like he's like, and then when I say, can you explain a bit, he goes, I'm explaining to you exactly how it felt to him. Like, all of a sudden, he's like in, all of a sudden he feels like something's around his nose, he smells something, and then he's out. And that's kind of how it feels. Maybe he wants you to understand it's not like he suffered, you know, at that point. Like, I guess he wants you to have an image that he... it's not like, you know, when someone peacefully slips away, but he definitely isn't like somebody who's like having a suffering going on. So I don't know, were you asking him that or were you just kind of visualizing or worried about, especially because if you're not with someone, it can kind of be, you know, a little bit.
No, I'm totally okay with his passing and how it happened.
Okay. Because it's like sometimes this is just kind of their way of they always kind of want it. I don't know why, but they always kind of want to explain those last moments. I guess it's to kind of share because it's kind of not something you can always share, obviously.
Yeah.
But he's
actually,
also
exactly
saying
exactly what he wanted. He
yeah,
wanted to
just,
go quickly.
I was just about to say that. Okay. I was just about to say that he was going to say, actually, this is fine for him. You know, I mean, even though he feels weird, like everything happened, like, boom, I was fighting, you know, I'm someone's full of life and lights are out, you know, that is more him because he is not somebody... He's not like a victim type person, you know. He's just definitely somebody who's either going to be full of life or he'd rather be gone. It's just that's just how he's showing me. And he's talking about this might sound another. It's funny because I don't know if he's kind of like a jokester or if he just likes to do shock value on me. But he likes to show something like kind of dramatic first and then explain it later. So. It's like his visual way. So for some reason he's showing me like a choir. Oh, he's showing me like a almost like a choir, singing choir around him. I don't think this is something that has to do with you. I think this has to do with how he saw crossing over. Now, when he talks about crossing over, it's not like he's belittling this idea. Like, in other words, it's like he's very pleasant about the whole understanding of what it's like over there. So, in other words, I don't see him. Sometimes people come in, they're upset. They're like, this isn't what I expected. I'm kind of really upset about it. And he has a very pleasant attitude about it. Have you had dreams about him or things that you've been feeling him as well? He's definitely trying.
I do have medium experiences, and I know that he comes in and I hear him, and I know he has messages, but what happens is I get overwhelmed with the emotion, and then I can't hear everything correctly.
Okay, so in other words, you have a little bit of this. You have a sight yourself, you're saying, and you hear him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's because it's
very hard when it's your own loss to actually. Yeah, your emotions get in the way. Yeah. Because he's talking about how he's definitely connecting to you all the time. He's just excited because he was pulling on my arm. Because he wants you, he wants to do more of it. You know what I mean? He was determined to get to you tonight. I guess it's to confirm for you, because he wants to keep the connection going. He's also talking about now your mom's here, right?
Yeah.
Now they were together, meaning not. I have to always specify now from now on. I mean, they were in a relationship together.
They divorced many years ago, but till the day he died, he said my mother was the love of his life.
Yeah, because he sure didn't show it to me like that. He did not show it to me as them divorcing. Yeah, showed me like he's connected to her. Like, it's like he's going to be around her, and he's going to be around her, and he's going to be around her. Yeah, he didn't give up on it. It's interesting.
Nope.
Were they friendly, though? Because he's not showing me hostileness between them.
No, in the end, she actually took me to see him and met his new girlfriend, and it was very, very amicable and pleasant.
Yeah,
whereas, the divorce
was
tumultuous.
Okay. Yeah, because it's very interesting because his view of her and her view of him is very different. but, yeah, he definitely has, like, almost kind of a glossed-over version, you know, his version about them.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of feel like he puts rose-colored glasses on a little bit. He's also talking about you, and I don't know if you have a baby. Or a child. He keeps talking about a child, or if you want a child. You don't have a boy, do you?
Yes, I do, but he's 29, but he's my baby.
Okay. Yeah, always your baby. It's like he's circling around him a lot, so I don't know if he's in need of help or if he's just attached, you know, because I'm kind of speed reading here tonight. But he's kind of singled out on this one. I don't know if your son sees his grandfather or not. Does he?
Probably does.
I would just be check in with him because he's definitely around him a lot.
Okay.
And then real quick, he keeps putting ice cream sundaes in front of me. And then he's feeding them to you. And then he's feeding them to himself. And then you shrink to a little girl, and then he goes back to feeding him. Does this make any sense to you?
Probably. He was very young when they divorced, and I didn't have much relationship with him till later years due to other issues. Not between him and I, but just anyway. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have more conversation with him now that he's passed than when he was alive.
Oh, wow. Okay. So the ice cream sundae, though, itself isn't that significant then?
No. Okay. But I could imagine that probably did happen.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it did. It was just kind of, it's just kind of more than it happening. There was something more relevant to what he's showing me, and I don't know if it's a picture, because sometimes it's a picture that they want me to see that you'll find at some point. But I kind of feel like it's, I kind of feel like it's more like a capture in time. So it could even be like one of the few times he was around. You know how you have like that one, it's something very random. This isn't like symbolic of like, oh, one time you had a Sunday, because that's just too general. This is like actually he's focusing and honing in on this moment in time, and you look little. So it might be like either one, like one of the times he did something with you, or like a picture. And if you could ask your mom, sometimes in things like this, especially when I'm kind of trying to shoot fire so quick, you could ask your mom, and sometimes it confirms for later. He's also talking about, he's just wants a really quick, because he's a talker, so I'm trying to get him to, he's very, very is hyperly trying to correct the way things were when he was alive. So when you're talking to him, I guess he just wants you to know you're actually mending quite a bit what was going on between the two of you. There's a lot of healing, in other words, happening, and you're actually gifting him quite a bit. You're doing him a great gift. I don't know if you realize.
I'm really okay with it, and he really didn't cross over at first. He stuck around for a while, and he had some things
to
do, and then I had a ceremony with my siblings and my niece and nephew, and asked Archangel Michael to come in, and I actually did see him cross.
Okay, yeah, that's perfect. Well, yeah, because he obviously, the way he died, you know what I mean? He died kind of pushed out. It's a little bit shocking to the system. And then he starts, you know, when you start hearing people talk about you and say things, and you start to realize, you know, he wanted to stick close to kind of obviously that was something he needed to do. And you being you, it all worked out perfectly. You know what I mean? Like you were able to do something not a lot of daughters could do for their fathers who died. You know what I mean? Helping him cross through the veil.
Yeah. He just wanted to make sure everyone was okay.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of guilt and things like that, but you doing the work you're doing, maybe that's more what he was talking about. Okay, I missed the boat that you helped him. I thought he was meaning the when you talked to him. Okay, I see what you're saying. You were trying to say that. Okay, got it. But even you talking to him now is still like you keep elevating his spirit, so you are doing like quite a gift to him. As far as you like hearing him, you know, it's just like this is how it is, you know, when you're, she has an ability and you can hear her for other people, it's very hard to hear for yourself because your emotions get in the way. And you start to get emotional, you start to get upset, and so it kind of hits the vibration all weird and the message gets a little wonky. So people always think, like, I'm sitting talking, my mom died when I was 10 days old, and then I'm like always talking to her and I must have some great thing, and it took me a long time to hear her because that was such an emotional thing for me. So what she's saying is very true. But I feel like that's kind of why he wanted to come into you tonight to kind of hopefully maybe seal the connection a little bit better. And you being you, obviously he was able to, like, yank my arm, which doesn't usually happen because you must have been
I've never actually asked for a medium. I have called in to talk to a couple mediums to get some advice, you know, on things that I am getting on other people because I'm trying to hone in on that so that I can help other people with that. And so I've never really asked for them to come through. So tonight I did. I was like, you know what, I'm going to do it tonight.
For yourself, yeah. So, and the other thing is it's just you being you and you being kind of having that connection just kind of ups the vibration where he was able to kind of like push in pretty strong and like yank my arm.
So you just opening that gate, you know, was a good push, is what I'm saying, because it interrupted me in the middle. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, he would do that.
Yeah, he was like, kind of like, yeah, I'm not trying to be rude, but I'm not going to allow this. I'm like, you're going to talk to her, so. So that's fun.
Well, I thank you. I thank you so much. I know there's other callers on the line, and I certainly appreciate what you're doing for to help everybody, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, and good luck on your endeavors to do the same, sweetheart. Okay, blessings
thank
to
you
so much. Thank you so much, Margaret, for sharing. I really appreciate
thank
you calling. And let's see, we've got, okay. Well, all right. Odela, why don't you go ahead and give your website
sure,
address.
Sure, my
really
website, odelalevine.com, and I'm on Facebook on Odela Levine and Twitter as Odela Medium, I believe. And you come ahead and come in for a reading. I have classes. I do gallery reads. And thanks so much for coming and tuning in.
And thanks for being with us today, Kayla. Really appreciate you coming on in. And blessings to you and everything around you. And
thank
everybody.
You so much, Susie. You're great. I love seeing you. You lift my spirits, and she's awesome. Everybody. Give a shout out to Susie.
Okay, blessings to everybody. Thank you for tuning in, and we will be back. And for those one-on-ones, you can reach Odela at her website. Bye-bye, everybody.